This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Pastor Bob DeSalvio and is entitled, Resolve.
I don't know if any of you recognize the fact that each year around this time that there are a lot of Nutrisystem commercials. Have you noticed that? There are a lot of these kinds of commercials about, do you want to lose weight? We'll help you. And the reason they run those commercials is because they know most of us are thinking, boy, it's the end of the year, all that Christmas candy, all those cookies, all that food. I mean, I've just had it from Thanksgiving to Christmas. I probably put on 5 pounds. I've got to do something about it. Bingo. Nutrisystem can help you do something about it. And so many people make the promise to themselves and resolve among themselves, this year, I'm going to lose weight. My mother told a story to me when I was a kid, and I never forget it, about the little Italian guy in Brooklyn who wrote a note to himself, tomorrow I'm going on a diet. And he went to bed and he put that little thing on his bed nightstand. And the next morning he woke up and he read it, tomorrow I'm going to go. And it went like that day after day after day. You know, this is a human crack in the armor. That we don't do a lot of the things that we say we're going to do. There is this missing ingredient for us in our flesh. It's called persistence. It's called doing what you say you're going to do. It's sticking to it. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. That we can resolve one thing this year going forward, to be faithful, to hang on to the Lord. A lot of other things may fall by our wayside, and that's what I want to share with you this morning. Someone wrote, we should be persistent and not known as a good starter and a poor finisher. How many of us does that describe? Started out with all kinds of good intentions. It went good for a while. I don't know about you, but when I was going to school, we used to have loose leaf books, and you used to go out and buy the loose leaf book with the 3 rings, and then you went out and bought the paper. And if you didn't put the little binder, little 3-ring binders around it, the little tabs, it wouldn't be long before you'd be losing papers. So I would go out and get them, I'd put them on there, and then the dividers, and it wouldn't be long before all my pages would start falling out because I forgot to do the rest of them. I didn't finish the job. Every time there was a new section in there, it was without the tabs. It was a mess. I always started out with the right intentions, and they always ended up with the results. President Calvin Coolidge wrote this, nothing can take the place of persistence. Talent won't, genius will not, education will not, persistence and determination alone prevail. The slogan, press on, has solved and always will work to solve our problems. Funny, President Coolidge apparently agreed with what the Apostle Paul wrote. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's found in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Paul writes this, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. In other words, he hasn't arrived spiritually. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, forget the past. I start to reach for those things which are before. I press toward the mark of the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm moving forward. I'm sticking with this. I'm not going to let go of Jesus. I'm not going to let go of my faith walk. I'm going to keep on walking even though I'm going to come across potholes, even though there's going to be barriers, even though I may have doubts, even though I may have disappointments. I'm going to stick to this. If there's one thing that could be said about the postage stamp, it's this. Its true value and usefulness consists in the ability to stick to one thing till it gets there. Can you stick pressing on, running the race, faithfulness and steadfastness? The Bible instructs are qualities that should be active in the life of the believer and in the life of the church. Turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continually, daily, with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added daily to the church such as should be saved. Verse 42 says the early church was marked by steadfastness. They were going to soon enough be experiencing terrible life threats. Soon enough, they were going to be experiencing persecution that was unknown to the church at that point. They were soon enough going to be beheaded. Soon enough, they were going to, along with their Savior, be crucified, thrown into jail, eaten by lions, beaten by gladiators. Soon enough. But they were building on a foundation of steadfastness, learning to hold on when things were pretty good, learning to pray to God about the little things, so that when the big trials and the big things came along, they were prayed up. They were building on a foundation. They had a commitment that followed their conversion. They were committed to the teaching of God's word, the fellowship of other believers, a deep prayer life, the support of the church body, and they did not lose their focus and they didn't lose their passion. And verse 47 says, because of those things, God honored their faithfulness by adding souls to the church. So they didn't let their apathy erode commitment. They didn't let disagreements separate them. They didn't allow anything to take priority over Jesus Christ and the church. They kept on keeping on. And God puts great value on faithfulness because it's such a short commodity and such a scarce commodity in human beings. Jesus said in Matthew 24:46, blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. We find favor with God and man and real satisfaction when we are faithfully doing what God has called us to do. Listen to Paul's testimony in Acts chapter 20, verses 22 to 24. Verse 22, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Just going blind. Just stepping out. Who knows what's around the bend anyway? Do you? Do you know what's around the corner in your life? Do you know what's on the next page? He stepped out in faith, believing that God was going to take care of him. 23, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying, those bonds and afflictions abide me. I am getting a hint that tough times are ahead. 24, but none of these things move me. Even though these things are standing out there, I don't know what form or shape they're coming, but I know they're coming. It's not going to move me from what I've been called to do. Neither count I my life dear to myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And Paul writes, no matter what comes my way, I will not be moved from that which God has called me. God's called you to follow Jesus. Will you be moved in 2015? Or will you stand fast, no matter what it is that comes your way? He was faithful. Paul was faithful, even though he didn't know what the future held. But he knew that hard times were part of his future. And he determined in his heart to hang on. Matthew 25 and verse 21, the Lord speaks to you and me, and he says, the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Are you faithful to the little things God has put in your life? I mean, this is where you learn your exercise. This is when you learn to work with the dumbbells of faith. You know, you start out real small to build up your muscles. Exercise. You don't jump into exercise and start out at the top. It's not like trying to get on a 100-mile-an-hour moving train. You start out slow and you work your way up. Start out slow if you've kind of gotten off course. Start out slow, but be steady. Jesus tells us that the key to a victorious Christian life is endurance. To endure means to continue. Listen to this list of synonyms, words that mean the same about endurance. Persist. Remain steadfast, hold on, hang on, bear up, go through, be brave, live through, live out. This is what it means to be steadfast. This is what it means to endure. Push through. Going through a hard time right now, the easiest thing to do is just sit down. But keep moving on for the Lord. Let Him open the doors. Be still. Know that He is God. Watch for the clues. Watch for the cues. Watch for the open door. Watch for the doors that close. But don't give up. Never give up. Never quit. Whether you feel like quitting or not. That's a miserable excuse for endurance. I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. Or maybe you'll say, I don't feel the way I used to feel. What's feelings got to do with it anyway? Can you imagine Jesus, when the appointed time for Him to go to the cross, said, I don't know if I still feel like doing this. What if Jesus said, like so many of us will say, well, you know, Sundays don't work for me. What if Jesus said, you know, I'm not good with Fridays. Friday won't work for me anymore. What do feelings have to do with it anyway? Feelings are the most misleading indicators of how things ought to be, because your feelings will take you on a roller coaster like no other aspect of your life. Your emotions, your feelings can be consumed by anything. Something somebody said in an offhanded way can change your feelings. Something you ate, something you saw, something you heard, just something can change how you feel about things. There's a difference when you're committed and when you're steadfast. The true story is told of a commuter flight from Portland, Maine to Boston. Now listen. The pilot heard an unusual noise near the rear of the small aircraft. He turned the controls over to the co-pilot and went back to investigate. As he reached the tail section, the plane hit an air pocket. He was tossed against the rear door. He quickly discovered the source of the mysterious note. The rear door had not been properly latched prior to taking off, and it flew open. He was instantly sucked out of the jet. The co-pilot, seeing the red light that indicated an open door, radioed the nearest airport requesting permission to make an emergency landing. He reported that the pilot had fallen out of the plane and requested a helicopter search of that area of the ocean. After the plane landed, they found the pilot, Henry Dempsey, hiding and holding onto the outdoor ladder of the aircraft. Somehow, he caught the ladder and held on for 10 minutes as the plane flew 200 miles an hour at an altitude of 4,000 feet. And then landing kept his head from hitting the runway. It took several minutes, and you can understand this part, it took several minutes to pry his fingers off of that ladder. Giving up was not an option for that pilot. And giving up is not an option for you or for me either. Life can get a little turbulent from time to time. And you may not feel like holding on to the Lord. You may not feel like holding on to His promise. But have you considered the alternative? What else is there? How many times I've heard you say, you, I don't know how people can go through a situation like this without the Lord. So why would you give up? Where would you go? So how do we hang on when things get tough? I like to give four keys from Scripture to help you stay on course. Key number one is found in Ecclesiastes 5, 4, and 5, and it says, when you make a vow or a promise, do what you say you're going to do. This came up in Sunday school, didn't it, Dave? When you say something, do what you say you're going to do. So you're not going to lose an ounce of weight if you quit. You won't save a dime if you quit. Your family and friends will not see Christ in you living it out, living out your faith if you quit. If you quit, maybe there won't be any testimony in your home. Maybe there won't be any testimony on your street. Maybe there won't be the light of Christ at your job if you quit. There'll be no testimony in that place. Sometimes you are the only Bible people will ever read. Sometimes you're the only Christian anybody will ever know. But it won't be like that if you quit. This church will not continue to go forward if you quit. We will not be able to support ministries throughout the world. We won't be able to support another pastor or anybody in India or anybody in Italy or anybody around the world or a new website that's coming up. We won't be able to do any of these things. We won't be able to go down to Trenton and give gifts to kids whose parents are in prison if you quit. We won't be able to do any of those things. And you won't be able to introduce your family, friends, and neighbors to Jesus if you quit. So don't quit. Don't tire. Don't run out of steam. Key number two, remember, commitment is an act of your will. An act of your will. Look at these examples. Daniel 1 and verse 8. Daniel purposed, he determined in his heart that he would not defile himself. There was temptation all around him. Temptations of the flesh for power. Temptations of the flesh, women. Temptations of the flesh to break his God-ordained diet. He wouldn't do any of these things. He wouldn't bow down to idols. He purposed in his heart. He determined in his heart. He would not let go. In Job 27, 5 and 6, Job says, "Till I die, I will not forsake my integrity. I will hold fast and not let go." Can you say that this morning? Come what may, I won't let go. The truth is, you will do what you purpose to do in this life. Think about it. You're always going to find enough time to do the things you want. And you'll always find enough money to buy the things that you want to buy. Isn't that the truth? There are so many things in our heads and in our ways that tell us that that's the truth. How we spend our time, sometimes it just gets frivoled away. I want you to look at these new statistics that came out in November of 2014 in an article from The Week magazine called The Boom in Computers. And it says this, over the last two decades, an explosion in internet use has taken place. Look at these things. In 1994, 25 million people were internet users. But in 2004, 910 million people were using the internet. But look at 2014, only 4 years later, 2.9 billion internet users. And that's only 40% of the population, according to the latest reports. We're obsessed with the internet. Think about this. Every minute, there is $272,000 spent in online shopping. Every minute. There are 48,000 apps downloaded from iTunes every minute. And there are 204 million emails sent every minute. And there are 100 hours of videos uploaded to YouTube. And then notice this, and maybe you're one of these statistics. 62% of people grab their cell phones immediately after they wake up. Is that you? Oh, I'm looking at some faces. It's possible. I'm looking out there. And then it says that the typical person checks their smartphone 150 times throughout the day. Is that you? I'm looking at some people out there. I'm not so sure. Let me see your fingers. Are they worn away? I'll tell you if it's you. Yet so many can't make it to church. All this stuff. And yet so many of us can only make it to church every so often. Pastor, a friend of mine in Staten Island, New York, tells me that the average person will come into his church three times a month. That's about it. You can see him maybe every third month or so. We can't find time to exercise. We can't find time to read a book. We can't spend time in meditation or helping somebody in need. And the point is this, unless you swim against the tide of apathy and your own inertia, you will never be all that God intended you to be. If you just sit back on your haunches and just say, well, come day, go day, you're going to have to be intentional. You're going to have to be purposeful. You're going to have to be determined. If God's going to be able to make a change in your life, He's not going to just drop it on your head. It's up to you. Key number three, don't lose focus and don't get sidetracked. 2 Kings 22 and verse 2, he, King Josiah, did what was right in the sight of the Lord and walked in all the way of David, his father. And look at this phrase, and turned not aside to the right or to the left. He didn't get sidetracked. And there are so many things that want to sidetrack you from your time of personal meditation in the things of the Lord. And there are so many things that want to sidetrack you from your prayer life. And so many things that want to sidetrack you from telling others about Jesus. And so many things that want to sidetrack you and keep you from coming to church or using your gifts. So many things. And you know what's happening in your life? Sometimes you just allow yourself, and I allowed myself, to be sidetracked. And it's easy. There are so many distractions in these day and age. The Bible gives great weight to being single-minded. Great weight. Key number four, believe. Believe. Luke 1:37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. We don't fully know what the power of the Holy Spirit can accomplish in our lives. We don't know. You know, if it's said that you only use 10% of your brain, how much do we allow for the Holy Spirit to do His work in our lives? How much of ourselves have we given Him? Let me ask you this. I'm asking you this personally. What are you in your life holding back from the Holy Spirit? What is it you say, Lord, you can have all of these areas of my life, but you can't have this? What are you holding back? That's what He wants this year. He wants you to yield that to Him, what you're holding back on. It's different for every one of us, obviously, but what is it that you are not allowing the Holy Spirit to get in and rearrange and reprioritize and rededicate? What is it that you are holding back, if anything, from the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit allows us to reach beyond ourselves and tap a wellspring of possibilities that on our own we could only imagine. God honors faithfulness, and it's the one thing we all possess. You have it within you with God's strength to make much out of little, and you have it within you with God's help to realize all the dreams that He has given you. What visions has God given you for your life? And how you can contribute to the cause of Jesus Christ. What can you do for Him this year? It's not what you can do for yourself. It's not what Bob can do for Bob. It's what can I do for Jesus? Because when I'm doing for Jesus, I will find satisfaction, meaning, and purpose in my life. When He is my priority, I will have a sense of success and fulfillment. So don't put a limit on what God can do with you and through you, and don't minimize your godly potential. Don't put the vision God's given you in a box and close the lid. We do that. We put limits on God and what He can do and what He wants to do in our life. If you give Him all of you, guess what? He's going to use all of you. I challenge you this morning to be what God would have you to be, what God's vision for you is. All it takes is for you to be faithful, committed, resolve to simply do what you say you will do. You may remember in Genesis that God made an early commentary on man. He said, whatever they can imagine, they can do. Just think of the technology that's come into the mind of men. Just think of your cell phone. Think of that phenomenon. When I was going to work in Brooklyn every day a few years back, there was no such thing as a cell phone. Hooray, was I happy. Nobody ever called me from the office, and then one day they gave me what used to be euphemistically called a car phone. My life went right down the tubes. Calls after I left work, Bob, you got a problem with me. Bob, you got a problem with me. I said, hold it. We got to work something else out. Yank the phone right out of the car. But you know, can you imagine being in a car traveling 60 miles an hour down the highway and a phone rings? And there's somebody on the other end who wants to talk to you? No, they shouldn't, and you shouldn't. But think of the technology that makes that happen. Think of all the medical advances that they are. Whatever they can imagine, they can do, God said. We imagine going to the moon. We're there and more. Think of all the things that man can do. Imagine what God could do with you for His kingdom. Have you ever tried to imagine that? God, what would you have me to do to contribute to the kingdom of Jesus Christ with my family, with my friends, with my neighbors, in my church? What can I do, Lord? And let me tell you this, dream big. I still maintain this. I know a lot of translations are different about this. But in John 14, Jesus said, in my house are many mansions. Some new Bibles have translated that into apartments. I don't know about you, but I'm sticking with the fact that God is generous. I think it's mansions, not an apartment. I lived in an apartment. I know the difference. Imagine big. You serve a big God. What he wants to do with you is enormous. If you let him, don't hold back. Can you imagine your whole family saved? Can you imagine this entire township of Delaware saved? Can you imagine this church filled to overflowing with your family and your friends and your neighbors? When God gives you a vision, go for it. Mary Kay, you may remember that she's the one that founded Mary Kay Cosmetics. This is what she wrote. My company mascot is the bumblebee. Because of its tiny wings and heavy body, aerodynamically, the bumblebee shouldn't be able to fly. But it doesn't know that. So it flies anyway. So here's my question. Who designed the bumblebee? God designed the bumblebee. He's the same one that lives in you. He's the same way, the same one that made you. He's the one that made you to soar. You may not think your wings are big enough, but they are. God doesn't call you to be successful. He calls you to be faithful. And so if you could just get your arms around that this year, I resolve, dear Lord, to hang on. I resolve this year to not let go. I resolve to let you be God in my life in a way I haven't before. Do with me as you will. The only resolution you can make that will work this year is I give up. I yield. I'm in your hands. Take me. Mold me. Transform me. Make me the believer you want me to be. Amen and amen. Let's pray.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.